Today I'm here to talk about disability, specifically what God's been teaching me. My husband is Aaron Burke. He's one of the pastors here. So let me open us up in prayer. Oh, Father, we're just so thankful that there is nothing beyond your scope, beyond your work. Thank you that you don't need any one of us, but you want to use us. I just pray that you would work in our hearts what you want each of us to learn. I just pray that the people of God would be known for their love and compassion toward the disabled, that we would just really grow our love for you as we consider this topic, whether it affects us personally or not directly. I pray that we would just really worship you in our hearts today and that you would just give us the mental ability to, myself included, to keep up with the plan. We would just really trust you and worship you in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, here is where I'm going today with our time. Oh, I wanted to ask you a couple questions first. Okay. Would you mind raising your hand if there is someone in your church who is disabled? And I should probably define disabled here real fast by saying it doesn't necessarily mean a clear, obvious disability, but anything that limits their either physical abilities or intellectual abilities. And specifically, it's not a curable thing. So it's something that's going to be going on for their whole life. So if your church is affected by disability, wow, and I am seeing almost every hand, if not every hand, raised. Would you mind also raising your hand if you are personally affected by disability, meaning either your own self, your immediate family, or a very close friend that's almost like a family? Would you mind raising your hand? That's quite a bit of hands. That almost might be half of the ladies who are here. And I would also like to ask you, if you don't mind raising your hands, if you've ever looked at a parent with a disabled child and thought, oh my goodness, this person is just such a superhero. I can't relate to this person at all. What could I possibly say to that? I can't even relate to her life at all. If you've ever felt a little intimidated or overwhelmed. Okay, that was like all the hands. I'm thankful to hear that my hands are really high on that, because before I had a disabled son, I felt very intimidated. Like, these people are superheroes. I have nothing to relate to this woman and what she's going through. What could I possibly have to say to this person? So here's my heart for our time today, is just really to encourage you that you don't have to be a special needs parent in order to help, to befriend, or to counsel another special needs parent. Because at its foundation and core, we special needs parents, we are both sufferers and sinners. And isn't that everyone, right? I think of Pastor Green, who supervised my 50 hours of counseling, repeated over and over, everyone coming to you is both a sinner and a sufferer. So I'm a sufferer who needs hope from God's word. I'm a sinner who needs hope from God's word. So let me share with you a little bit about my story here. So I had a healthy and normal pregnancy with all four of my children, praise the Lord. And everything seemed fine with our youngest. This is Isaiah. This is my husband, Aaron, holding Isaiah in this picture. And he seemed fine until he just kind of wasn't really developing. He was eating and growing. And when he was around 5 months old, he just kind of wasn't doing the normal developmental things for that age. And the long story short, we did more and more testing, talked to more and more specialists. And we found out when he was about 1 year old, he was diagnosed with a very rare genetic disorder. It's so rare that the name of it is not a syndrome, it's just the name of the mutation, which is IQSEC2, which is a scary name. And what we found out, I remember so vividly the day that I looked up what was this mutation and what was life going to be like for him. And what I read was that for the boys with this mutation, because it's X-linked, so it's more severe for boys, we found out that he would almost certainly never be able to walk. He would definitely never be able to talk or communicate at all, and that he will be in his own little world for his whole life. That he would essentially be the size and shape of an adult, but intellectually and developmentally like a little baby for his whole life, and there doesn't seem to be any shortened lifespan. And in that moment, I, who am a biblical counselor, and a Christian and a pastor's wife and all the other, you know, things that I know better, I was so angry at the Lord because I knew he could have stopped this, but he must have specifically chosen this and allowed this because I know what God's word says about this. And I actually was looking back through my little journal that I brought with me, and I wrote in this journal 1 week later, so I had a little time to process. And in the Lord's kindness, the day that I finally sat down and did all the research of what was this IQ-Sec2 mutation was the Monday of Vacation Bible School week, where already I had been asked to teach the same lesson 5 nights in a row about the gospel. So as I was reflecting on that, here's what I wrote. I wrote, 1 week ago, I understood the horrible outcomes of this mutation, and it was one of the worst days of my life. The only comfort is the gospel. There is nothing like the hope of the gospel. This felt like the worst possible news, but actually there was worse news, that all of my thoughts and everything I ever did was for myself and displeasing to God. My very kindness and best behavior, too. But God sent Jesus to die even for my doubt, my anger, and my despair. He has made me right with God and covered my sin. He has given me new purpose and hope that he is making all things new. And that is the best hope, better than even a cure for my son. How could a temporary cure compare to an eternal life together with my Savior? Oh, I forgot to scroll through. I have a picture of my Isaiah taking a bath, which he loves. He gets so excited and he kicks his little arms and legs. And then here's a picture of us all together, my husband holding all four of our kids. He's become such a, and if you're listening to the audio, just know that you're seeing the most adorable, most handsome boy. You're missing out on seeing all these lovely pictures that I'm putting together here. So I want to help you consider if you're going to hopefully befriend, if not get the opportunity to counsel and come alongside someone with a disabled child, what are some ways to build loving involvement? It's certainly by hearing their story, right? By asking good questions and allowing them to acknowledge the difficulties of the calling of being a parent to a disabled child. So here are some questions that I thought of. This should all be in your notes. I might ask something like, what's the nature of your child's disability? How did you find out? When did you find out? Was it before birth, at birth, after birth? What do you know about the cause? Was it something that seems to be random medically, or was it the result of a human purposeful harm or accident? What have you learned about their disability, as in what kind of care is involved? What is that child's life expected to be like? Have there been any surgeries? Are there surgeries coming up? Is a shorter lifespan expected? What was your spiritual walk like before you found out about your child's disability? And how did finding that out impact you? How did you respond and how did your spouse respond? And what's something that was, I guess, not too surprising to me was finding out how high the divorce rate is for parents of a disabled child. Wouldn't we just love our churches to be known as places that parents could go? They could find care for their child so that they can receive counsel from God's word. Wouldn't that be, don't you just want the church, the global church, to be known as that kind of a place that parents can go to find true help? What is your spiritual walk like now? And of course, what brings you to counseling if they're coming to you? It may not have anything to do with their disabled child. So obviously that's an important question. We want to make sure we're acknowledging the difficulties. This is something that I have been grown and stretched a lot as a counselor personally, where it can feel so uncomfortable to just hear someone just dumping out all of the hard things of their life. But this is just such, the lament is such an important process to understanding what's really in their heart so that we can help them to trust and turn to the Lord. All right, I, in my previous career, used to teach college science, and I have a very brief background doing research, and it was this kind of data gathering of getting surveys and analyzing that data. So when I prepared for this talk, I felt like I had to gather data from other people, so it's not just me. So I put a survey out on all my social media pages, for parents of disabled children, and I got 80 responses back. These are some nominal Christians